Loyal listeners, welcome new listeners to How I Met Your Podcast by Runkle Recaps. We are on Season 6, Episode 22, The Perfect Cocktail. And with me is my co-wifecaster, Jen. Hi, Jen.
Hello, everyone.
Before we get into the episode, we have a new contributor who wrote in. And unlike our other new contributor, Albert, she is not brief.
Her name is not a bad thing.
I think it's a her. Cat S, probably a her.
Probably.
Cat S writes, big, big fan, very small corrector. Hi, Runkles. I've just finished binging all the past eps and finally caught up, so now I'm ready to send a little fan mail. First, though, I'm going to be literally the most annoying corrector ever, just to get out of the way. Well, I don't know if literally is the right word for this, Cat S. But,
for being correctors?
Yeah, but I'll continue on.
You mean figuratively.
I'm so sorry, but it was driving me bonkers. A few times Steve has referred to things as non-canonical, like someone calling Robin a nickname without a reaction from her or Barney having coffee in his apartment. Those things are definitely inconsistent writing and out-of-character moments, but quote-unquote canon means that it appears in the actual written text. Anything that happened on screen is canon. It might also be bad, but it's still canon. As weirdo fans rewatching this decades-old sitcom, it's on us to make the canon make sense. Here's what I've got for these two moments. Maybe Barney realized it's actually awesome to have fresh coffee in his own kitchen the morning after the world's greatest couple experience. Come on, he doesn't even have to get out of his suit jammies. Much more convenient. As for Robin, maybe she just ate a bunch of sandwich muffins again and she didn't even hear the nickname? Yeah, I don't know. That one's very iffy. Sometimes canon is dumb. Crunches pretzels. All right, before I move on, let me respond to Cat S on, because I looked up canon to make sure I was using it correctly. Canon, yes, can mean what is already written. But it also, in the dictionary, says a set of rules. So, or a set of rules, and it used something else that was helpful to my argument.
Standards?
Yeah, something like that. So, and I've heard other podcasters that talk about shows use the term non-canonical, which is to say that from the rules that have been set so far in the show, this doesn't honor them. Now, it has become canon that he does this, so going forward, if he did it again, you couldn't say it's non-canonical. So I will quibble a little bit with your quibble, but let's agree to disagree on that one. And I shall go on, and I do appreciate you chiming in, though, even if it is a nonsensical correction.
Oh, wow. Way to alienate our new write-in.
Well, I appreciate a little constructive criticism, but she's just wrong.
Wow.
Actually,
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, she sounds very intelligent. She sounds like she might have a job or expertise that's in the area of needing to be correct on grammar consistently. And that's why she was able to pick this out. So I'm sure that she is also right, but I have heard it used this way.
That doesn't mean that everybody else is not also wrong.
That's true, too. To continue on, now that my embarrassing inner Ted can chill, I also want to say that the vibes on this podcast are really fun. It's very cool that you keep making new eps even though you have entire human lives to keep up with. I've listened to a lot of recap podcasts, and it's understandable but so sad when someone gives up on a show with lots of episodes. Steve, thank you for your tireless dedication to creating ranking systems for subjective concepts. That really takes so much discipline. I think I break my own rules all the time. Meaning she'd be non-canonical sometimes?
Oh, no.
Jen, thank you for continuing to pick my funniest lines for each ep almost every time.
Yes.
We don't always agree on least funny, but it's almost always the same for funniest. Over the head,
that's
high
awesome.
Five. And ooh. Finally, thank you to Roxy for the ambient snoring background track. I grew up with a snorky dog, and it just sounds homey to me.
Aww.
Anyway, I'm a staunch Season 9 apologist, but not the last scene. Not that. So maybe I'll be in touch again later on. Thank you again for your dedication to doing something so high effort and comparably low reward. And I hope your lives are happy and peaceful until we hear from you again. Kat, P.S. This ended up being super long. You're not going to read it all on air, are you? Laugh out loud. Sorry, folks.
Yes, we always read everything.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard podcasts that get to the point where they get so many write-ins that they end up kind of pick and choosing
right.
which ones they think are more interesting to read. We get, I think we've gotten maybe 3 or 4 max in any given mm-hmm. week. So I think we're pretty safe to kind of just read the ones that we get.
Yeah.
We also got another one from Albert, and we'll get to him at the end because he has comments for this episode.
But thank you, Kat, for writing in. Nice to hear from you.
And again, you sound very intelligent. I might slightly disagree with you on when you can use the word canon and how to use it.
Oh, no. 2 correctors in 1 email conversation. How will this end?
All right. The Perfect Cocktail, ranked 167.
Mm.
Which I think helped me, again, watch this episode because my expectations were so low that I was surprised to be entertained by some of this one.
I did not remember much of this, honestly. I was like, really just watching it, like, oh, I wonder what is going to happen here.
Any other initial reactions to this one?
I think these storylines were all stupid, but there were a few, like, little things in there that I, like, really enjoyed. But overall, like, I did not care for any of these storylines.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I particularly hated the main storyline, which is the drinking thing.
I really disliked the girl trying to steal the table. Like,
it was weird, and it was acted weird by the girl.
Yeah. We'll talk about it as we get into it.
Yeah, sure. And we should also mention that it was 2 weeks since the last week podcast, so
yes.
We're much more punctual on delivering this next episode than we've been in a while.
That is true.
Let's get this started and have it behind us.
Jeez. Please listen to our podcast.
Hey, we can dislike episodes. That doesn't mean that people don't want to listen to us and hear us rip them apart a little bit.
True.
All right, kids, when your Uncle Marshall finally quit Goliath National Bank to do something better with his life, he left on great terms with his boss, and we see Arthur Bob Odenkirk saying goodbye to Marshall and making Marshall promise to use him as a reference. Then we cut over to an interview that Marshall's on for an environmental law firm, I guess?
Yeah, they don't really say, just some sort of environmental organization.
And we see the bad review that Arthur's giving Marshall to the hiring manager there. He said he worked with Marshall when he actually showed up, and then we get a flashback. Marshall's coming in afternoon in a suit with the sleeves torn off and sunglasses.
And a random tattoo that I don't think is usually there, but I couldn't tell what it said.
And then an assistant accuses him later of not wearing any pants, has him screaming, "Screw the environment."
Yes, he puts his plastic water bottle not in the recycle can.
And I like this line. We fired him when we caught him clubbing a seal in his office with an even cuter seal. That actually made me laugh.
I mean, and so the guy, I don't know why this guy even had Marshall come in, or if he, like, called the reference before the interview, which I don't know if anyone has ever done in the history of hiring.
Okay. Not the worst part of this episode.
No. But it's also like, okay, once the guy says he was clubbing a seal with another seal, like, do we not start to wonder if maybe this guy's not being truthful?
Yeah, sounds a little outlandish.
But, yeah, so the guy doesn't give Marshall a chance, obviously.
It wouldn't be within Marshall's canon to club seals.
I'm so confused now by what canon means.
So Zoe, Marshall runs into Zoe. It almost seems like he might have sought her out. But she sees what conditions he's in, and she wants to help him get back at those jerks. She has a proposition for you, and then we cut away to the bar. And Barney's inviting people to the demolition of the Arcadian. He's trying to figure out how he wants to set the explosives off. He's thinking of training an actual coyote to use an Acme dynamite plunger, which is the Roadrunner cartoon.
I mean,
they've referenced Roadrunner before, I believe.
Yes. I like that. I thought that was funny.
Robin points out that Zoe's protest could still shut down their whole project.
I did like her. Well, no one wants to see a coyote wearing a little hard hat more than me.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a little back and forth between Barney and Ted. Lily says, okay, see, that's so weird to me. 1 second you're defending Zoe, the next you're talking about her going down, and then I'm going to call this my least favorite line. Barney says, glad to know she's also mouthy in a good way. What up, dude? That's his girlfriend.
Yeah. That whole...
That was weird.
None of that was good.
Yeah, they were really trying to stick something in there for Barney.
Yeah.
Lily wants to know, isn't it tough dating Zoe with all this going on? And Ted says that they just never talk about it.
And so...
And that it doesn't even come up that often.
Right. And then Zoe arrives and wants to introduce everybody to the new lawyer she hired to help save the Arcadian, and Marshall locks up. Ted immediately just changes the subject because that is apparently how him and Zoe deal with having these competing opinions.
Yeah, so as this scene goes on, Ted just keeps bringing up non sequiturs. And Marshall wants to know, hey, we're cool, right, even though I'm doing this, and Barney does not think they're cool. And then him, Barney, and Marshall start quarreling. And then begun an all-out war between Barney and Marshall. We are outside GMB, and Marshall's there with Zoe for the protest, which one of them's on a megaphone.
Yeah, Marshall's...
Oh, Marshall's on the megaphone.
Doing something on a megaphone. I don't know if we can really tell what he's saying, but then this guy walks up.
We find out his name through the script is Kent.
Right.
Kent shows up to show a picture of what someone did to the megaphone that he's talking into, and he gets sick from it, and then he takes Zoe's thermos to, like, wash his mouth, and then he shows him another picture, and he spits it out.
And then later they're at the bar, Lily wants to get him a drink, but Marshall's still not ready to put his mouth on anything yet.
Yeah. Marshall walks away from the booth at the bar, and as he does, a woman comes toward the booth and then walks away when she sees the girls are still there, and she keeps giving, like, weird looks to, like, the girls.
Very slowly walking by with, like, weird side eye. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, we find out, yeah, she wants the booth, which is just, like, a normal thing that happens at a bar. But nobody acts this way.
No, and I have been that person that you're waiting to get a table.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple parties that are clearly done, but just kind of lounging and mm-hmm. not making their way out.
But you're not, like, walking by all weird, are you?
No, never.
Yeah, and so because they know she wants the seat or the booth, they decide they're going to get more drinks and
they're going to milk it.
Oh, wait, no, this happens on two separate occasions. Actually, I had to rewind and make sure. So Robin just says they're going to just nurse the drinks that they have. And then it cuts over to Barney and Marshall. This leads into Marshall, like a nice little montage of Marshall just kind of like blocking Barney from trying to be able to pick up girls in the bar.
Yeah, he pretends that Barney's wife called from the hospital and just had a baby. He comes in with the doctor's lab coat to tell him that his crabs have super herpes. His tests had come back in. Tells a girl which number girl she'll be that Barney's sleeping with.
And so, yeah, blocks them at every turn. And then back to Lily and Robin, the lady walks by again.
Yeah, and Robin and Lily are throwing out a couple puns.
No, okay, so this is where I got confused. Sorry, this is where I got confused. Because, like, our script says later, but when you go back and look, like, they changed outfits. Like, this was not all in one day.
Okay.
This was another day, which makes this whole thing even weirder.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I had to, like, go back and look, because I was like, is this the same day? Because I was like, I think they have different outfits on. And so, yes, all of this means just, like, yeah, Marshall's been spending multiple days messing up Barney's game, and then Lily and Robin are still...
Okay, yeah, from that perspective, I guess that it makes sense to clarify that. Lily asks the waitress for a mojito, and says to the woman that keeps walking by, and you'll have a no-seat hoe.
Didn't care for that.
I thought that was okay.
I thought that was too forced.
After Marshall has spoiled Barney's fun with women for a little while, he sits down at the booth to enjoy his smoky taste of victory in a drink. Barney, are you sure it doesn't taste like anything else? And then in comes Kent again with a picture to show him. Barney spits his drink all over Robin. That was kind of a funny sight gag.
Right. But then Marshall grabs Barney, and then Kent shows him a picture of Barney doing something to
his collars, like, in his own suit.
Right. Like, this is just getting absurd.
I like that. This is the only thing I think I'd like for this episode. Then they get into a shoving match.
Yeah. Something, a table falls over, something Carl kicks. kicks them out and
bans them from the bar.
Yeah, kicks it and kicks Robin and Lily out. Like, they weren't doing anything. But
just, yeah, this is a little extreme.
Yeah, kicks a lot of them out. Yeah, not just kicks them out, like you said, banned them from the bar, which is just insanity.
And as they get kicked out, the girl and her friends take their booth.
Right.
We're at the apartment, and Lily and Robin are talking about how to solve the Barney and Marshall thing. And Robin says that these guys are not going to get all mushy sober. We need to get these bitches drunk. Meaning that they need them to, like, have a share their feelings and cry it out after fighting, and then that'll right. solve everything.
And move on.
So they start to explore the ideas of what kind of drunk they need to be. I don't want to go through this
right.
very, very meticulously. They talk about red wine. That's not going to work. They talk about straight up gin, but that makes Marshall want to fight. So, you know, that would actually be helpful in getting them to fight. So right now they're just kind of going through the things of how these alcohols make Barney and or Marshall feel so they can get to the right combination.
Yeah. Think about it. Like, Robin says red wine makes Barney have sad clarity. That might actually be helpful in this situation.
Could be. But with the comment on the gin, we get a flashback of Marshall walking through a hallway in the bar, getting prepared to fight a guy that's walking right at him, and then he runs into a mirror because it was him the whole time.
Right.
Lily suggests martinis. Robin says no way because Lily always hits on her.
So I read in the trivia, but I didn't notice during the scene, apparently during that martini scene, they're all dressed up like people from Mad Men.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I didn't completely miss that.
And, you know, we haven't seen gay Lily in a while.
That's true.
Good to have her back. Robin suggests daiquiris, but that just makes Marshall horny for himself. Like, he falls in love with his own image. We have him dancing in front of a mirror, like, kind of hitting or flirting with himself.
Well, you skipped over the absinthe.
Oh, yeah. That made you laugh. Why don't you go ahead and describe that?
So there's a flashback to all of them sitting on the porch, and Marshall is talking about that they can have water, soda, or purple stuff. Do you know what that's a reference to?
Like Sunny D or yeah. one of those.
Yeah. Like an old Sunny D commercial, which is funny. And then all of a sudden, Robin like just like floats by horizontally.
And she's like giggling weird.
Yeah, giggling. We're a dream of babies having. Like, it was just so out of nowhere. It really
made
me
really
laugh.
Random. Lily tells her that didn't really happen.
Robin insists it did.
I'm going to skip the whole peppermint schnapps scene with the family feud lampoon.
Well, apparently this is a thing that's been referenced. I can't remember who it was before or after that a level of drunk that Barney can reach is Richard Dawson drunk.
Oh, okay.
So, just something that's out there in the canon. Actually, I did kind of like that because at the end there was... you know, Ted asking about the chicken wings. It was like Family Feud esque, and everybody cheered him on for getting the answer right by ordering mm-hmm. chicken wings.
Okay.
I thought it was cute.
For some reason, Lily's asking Ted what kind of, does he have a special reaction to any kind of alcohol? He thinks bourbon, that when he drinks that, he gets weirdly good at beatboxing. We get a flashback to him
so stupid.
Beatboxing at the bar on a microphone, so maybe it was like a karaoke night or something. It's hard to tell.
Right.
And he's crushing it, and then Lily straightens the record out. That's not how it actually sounded, and it was actually really bad.
Right.
They flash back to that one. All right, Ted's leaving. He's going to Martha's Vineyard, I guess.
With Zoe.
It's a big trip.
I guess that's drivable. I don't know.
No. You gotta fly to Martha's Vineyard.
They were driving.
Maybe there's a ferry, but you'd have to. I think it's up towards Boston, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're going to drive all the way up to Boston, and I think it would be a long ferry ride from Boston.
Yeah.
I think most people fly into Martha's Vineyard. I could be wrong. Never been there. We should go.
Yeah, for sure. We won't drive.
Lily's updating Ted on the ban that they got from the bar.
Yeah, apparently Ted missed out on knowing that he was banned from the bar.
And then Ted says, man, how did things get so screwed up? And then the narrator, Ted, says, of course, I knew the answer to that. It is Zoe.
Right. We didn't want to ruin their weekend away.
But as soon as they're in the car, Ted blurts out, you and the Acadian are ruining my life.
Yeah. And so he tells Zoe that, like, you know, this is like, I can handle you doing this to me, but now this is, like, impacting my friendships on top of it.
Which is such a stretch.
Yeah, because honestly, Ted's not really part of this conversation. This is really a Marshall-Barney issue.
Ted says they're going to settle this once and for all, but then we cut back to the bar. Lily says they've cross-referenced every alcohol with Marshall and Barney's reaction, so what's the right drink for this situation? Robin references something about how they're not talking and not even looking at each other. It's like an awkward sunny dinner with her mom and her dad and his mistress. Families, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to, like, really shove this thing, this joke a couple times into the episode.
Right.
And Lily's like, no, yeah, that's not family. That's something else.
Right. It's not like Lily's from a functional family either. Like Lily says, that's a whole other thing.
So then we get the flashes of what the drink they're drinking is, and then we see the reaction to it. So at first it's gin, and they fight. And then as they're fighting, we cut back to the Arcadian. Not back to, but now we're cutting to the Arcadian. Mm-hmm. Ted decided that he's going to take her here instead of to Martha's Vineyard and makes a deal with her. If she can make it all the way through the night at the Arcadian, he'll switch sides and join her to save it.
And it doesn't look great.
So Zoe says, you're on. This place is fantastic. They even left a chocolate on the pillow.
Ew.
Which I guess was
not a chocolate.
Yeah. Some sort of bug, I think.
No, I thought maybe it was some sort of animal poop.
No, could be.
Either way, it's gross.
Yeah, they never mention it moving, so let's not look too deeply into that.
Right.
We're back at the bar. Now they need to get them something to make them emotionally vulnerable.
So they try whiskey, and that, you know, that seems to work. They're being, like,
they're talking things out. Now, after they've done that, they need to get them up and having fun, so they try daiquiris, and both Barney and Marshall are starting to dance and flirt with their mirror images.
Robin's enjoying this, and
Lily tries to get a daiquiri, or no, a martini, and Robin cuts her off before she does. Or was it a margarita? I can't remember.
It was a martini. She kind of just, like, pushes it away.
Yeah. We're back at the Arcadian. There's just, like, weird, you know, Fleabag hotel stuff going on.
Right. Apparently there's a shared bathroom for the entire floor that has a door in their room. And we cut back to the bar. They're trying to figure out what will get them to get Marshall and Barney to forgive each other.
But they've disappeared. They only see shot glasses left behind, and it had tequila in it. Then we get, like, a weird cut to Barney hitting on, like, a biker woman.
Yeah.
Back at McLaren's.
Which and apparently they're allowed in now.
No, they're kind of both hiding. They're, like, out of sight.
But Marshall got food.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, he's hiding. Did he steal some?
Just weird. And he has a weird look on his face, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, maybe they didn't get let back in.
Maybe it was a callback we missed to something, but he's, like, he's got, like, a weird, mysterious look on his face as he's eating something.
Yeah.
Is it the chicken wings that we heard about before? I don't know.
Right, yeah. And there's just, like, a proclamation from 2030 Ted of don't drink tequila.
So we're back at the Arcadian. Ted keeps making these comments of, we could have been at Marshall's Vineyard, but we're here. If we were there,
this is what we'd be doing.
Right. And then he asks her, what makes you so passionate about the Arcadian? She says her family used to live here.
Is this a lie? I feel like this is a lie.
I thought before the end of this episode it was going to turn out to be a lie, but I think it's now canon.
I don't know. As soon as she said that, I was like, I feel like I remember that being a lie, but maybe not.
Yeah, again.
Maybe she...
Nothing's revealed before the end of this episode. If it is, she keeps it up to this.
Right.
Ted's touched by her story of growing up there, and he says he loves her. She loves him, too.
I guess that's the first time they've said that.
We're back at the bar.
Carl's randomly decided that everybody's unbanned.
And he got Marshall and Barney to get back in a good place by just giving them beer. Of course, beer.
Yep. So they seem to have come to an understanding. They love each other now.
As they're drinking the beer, Kent comes up with some pictures. Barney shoos him away.
I wonder what that was going to be.
I don't know.
And then back
since,
to the arcade.
Since we don't know what any of them were.
Well, I mean, we got implications on most of them.
Yeah, and we've already dealt with this when they had that prank war with Butterfield or whatever his name was across at the other building, and
right,
like he'd be drinking a cup of coffee and then he'd get an email with a picture and would be disgusted by it.
That's right.
So we assume it's something like dipping it in a toilet or something of that nature.
Oh, I just assumed Barney put his penis on it.
No, like I don't think that's
the megaphone
enough.
And the. water bottle at least?
I don't think that's enough. I feel like it's got to be something that's more scatological than just the penis.
Perhaps. We'll never know.
Back at the Arcadian, Ted says, you know, I guess this place isn't so bad. Zoe says, you know, with a little renovation, we could reform it to its former. What was that? We see something that's running across the room, then running up the wall.
Up the wall. Oh, it's so creepy.
It turns out to be the Cockamouse. It is back.
Nice little callback to the Cockamouse.
Yeah, I think we've always wondered if it comes back and we couldn't remember.
Yeah, because that was season one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice little... He has a little family now.
Zoe's had it. Yeah, Ted's pretty excited to see that it had babies. Zoe's done. She gives up. He wins. At the apartment the next morning, we see Barney and Marshall leaning against each other on the couch. And then as soon as they wake up, the fighting resumes. It turns out that they had champagne and then forgot all the things that led up to the end of the night where they made up.
Yeah, none of this makes sense.
Yeah. Bad storyline. Bad storyline.
Yeah, and then randomly, so Ted and Zoe are at the apartment as well. And Ted has now decided that he's on Zoe's side?
Yeah, it makes no sense. I guess because she grew up there, and he loves her, that he's going to save the home she grew up in.
Right.
Okay.
I guess. But he won. She left.
Right. We're back at the bar. Oh, wait.
No.
Before we go back to the bar, Billy and Robin want a drink.
Yeah, they're done with dealing with the nonsense. So Robin suggests a drink for Lily, and then they're both floating in the air.
Yeah, that was okay.
I liked it.
All right, now we're back at the bar. Those women are sitting in the gang's booth, and then Kent comes in and brings them pictures, which leaves them running.
Like, immediately gagging and leaving, and Robin and Lily run up with, like, rubber gloves and detergent and, like, I don't know, whatever happened, they're cleaning it up.
All right, good, we're done. What is your favorite joke?
Shoot, what was my favorite joke?
I'll start. So I think my favorite joke was just all the Kent coming in with pictures and the reactions to it. I kind of like that ongoing gag.
Oh, yeah, no, my favorite was Robin's absinthe, like, floating through the street.
What's your least favorite?
Just the whole storyline with the girl in the table guy. And, like, just none of that was funny. None of it made any sense.
Yeah, I didn't like Barney's mouthy comment. All right, before we go and say goodbye, we'll read the brief email, the always brief email, from the always brief Albert Fox. Albert Fox writes, I enjoy how Barney answers his phone, too, in the last episode and throughout the series, with some embellishment on Barney Stinson, or go for Barney. For this episode, worst joke, the booth bit.
Yes.
And any of the jokes around it, the stink eye, the nursing of the drink, all bad. Best joke, Barney admitting he grazed Lily's boob with his elbow and Lily's reaction of, that was on purpose. I think we kind of skipped over that.
Yeah, we did.
All right, next week, landmarks.
Thank you for writing in again, Albert.
Yes, and thanks, Cat S and Albert. Please continue writing in. And everybody else who forgot to write in, please write back in.
I'm blanking on names, but I miss the guy who always has some insult on Ted. I feel like he could have good material on this episode.
Yeah. Was that Felix?
Yeah, I believe it is Felix.
And he's the one with the questions, right?
Or no, sorry, I am horrible with names, and Steve checks the email.
Yeah, it's Felix does the Ted comments.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then it was Felix.
And
yeah, and I think he does do the questions, too.
Yeah, he does do the questions. Okay. Where are you, Felix? Danielle, where's Danielle?
I know, I was just thinking about Danielle. I hope you're okay.
Oh, I promised Tyler we'd give him a shout-out on this
podcast. Like a shout-out, or he's allowed to come down and say
something? No. Oh, okay. Because he's not allowed, I told him. He asked if he could at least have a shout-out.
Oh, okay.
So shout-out to Tyler.
Yay, Tyler. Right. We love you.
Next episode, Landmark. So this is the battle over the Arcadian.
Okay. And then is this the last episode of season 6?
This is 22. Next week. 24 episodes. Okay. So we got two more, and then we're on season 7.
The penultimate.
Yes. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in once again, and we're hopefully going to keep up the good pace here that we've recovered to.
Yep, let's hope so.
All right, everyone.
All right. Have a good night.
Yeah. Be well.
Or a day. Whatever you're listening. It's night here.